SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada. I'm Scott Jackson, and our pleasure to talk college basketball. Although the Terps, well, they were frozen out of the March Madness on the NIT front even. They did get a big score this week, and joining us right now to talk about it, Eric Prisbell from the Washington Post, their college basketball writer. Eric, thanks for giving us some time on SB Nation Radio. How you doing?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Well, let's start with Justin Anderson, a high-flying junior from Montrose Christian, gives the early verbal commitment to the Terps. I mean, how big of a score is this for Gary Williams coming off the season they had? And of course, knowing the backstory, which is the biggest criticism for Gary, is not keeping local talented players.
This is a big-time get for Gary Williams, and it comes at the perfect time, obviously. This was a low point for Maryland basketball when you consider the past, since 1993, probably the last time they missed the postseason. Completely, to be shut out of the NIT was a real shocker, and fans were down and fans were upset. I've gotten a lot of emails from fans who were pretty irate, and some who want Gary Williams out, and I don't agree with that. But then here comes Gary, and he gets a guy like Justin Anderson from Montrose Christian, and at the least, this is a high flying athlete, a leaper, a guy who's going to bring energy and defensive play, but I think he could continue to improve his offensive game, continue to work on his jump shot, and in time be a real threat from the offensive side of the court as well. It's a great, great recruit for Gary Williams to get a top 50 player, a local player, and you've been criticized for not getting local guys, you've been criticized for not getting top 50 guys. Well, he meets both of those criteria. So, to be coming in and in 2012, you're probably going to lose Jordan Williams at that time. This gives fans a reason to be optimistic, not just about next year, when they should be good next year, but long into the future as well.
I mean, without, to just put it out there, how did he do it? I mean, he's had so many problems getting these local top 50 guys. How was he able to get Justin Anderson?
Well, he has had a good relationship with Stu Vetter and Montrose Christian and Grievous Vasquez coming to Maryland and having Grievous having such a great career at Maryland. I think that certainly helped. And when you have a guy like Grievous Vasquez who can talk about what the experience was like. And remember, Grievous came in, and he was a good recruit. But by the time his senior year rolled around, by the end of that senior year, he was one of the top few players in the entire country. He was playing as well as anybody across the country, and he was almost unstoppable in the NCAA tournament. And it's a shame his tournament run did not last longer because he was a real pleasure to watch. So I think all of those experiences from Grievous certainly helped. Stu Vetter and Gary Williams have a good relationship, so that certainly helped as well. And you got to take advantage of those situations because, again, Gary's not going to play the AAU card much. He's not going to cozy up to guys who are kind of third party individuals or shadowy guys working in the corner around some of these guys. So for him to take advantage of the relationship with some of the high school coaches, it really benefited in this respect.
Eric Prisbell's with us, Washington Post College Hoops reporter with us here on SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada. I'm Scott Jackson. I hear that all the time about Gary Williams. I understand that. But then what are we getting at? Is it mean that Roy Williams, Coach K, Rick Barnes, all these other guys cheat and cozy up and pay off players? I mean, really, what does that mean when people say that all the time? Well, he won't play the AAU game, like he's better than that, and everybody else is a bunch of scumbags. What does that mean?
Well, first, I think with Carolina and Duke, they don't have to do it because their school is bigger than that, the brand name, just like with Kentucky as well. But I think you have different shades of gray among college coaches, and some do cheat. There's no question about it. Many push the envelope, and they do cozy up to guys who, just because a third-party guy may take money from somebody else, another coach just may cozy up to him and cultivate a relationship with him, but he may not pay him. And Gary doesn't want to do any of that, and you really can't fault him for that. He just doesn't think he should stoop to that level, and he's not the only guy who feels that way. I've talked to Tom Izzo about the recruiting game, and it's kind of like I'm talking to Gary Williams. They just feel like they'll do it their way, old school way, and they'll get their guys. They won't compromise anything, and they'll beat you just because they're a better coach and they could coach up players and develop players better than you can. And for the most part, that's right. They do it. Gary's still one of the top coaches in the entire country. Has he been hurt by not cultivating relationships with some of those questionable figures? Sure, he has. But, you know, he's overcome it by finding diamonds in the rough, like Agrebis Vasquez, Jordan Williams, and developing them over time.
Now, Anderson is the second big local guy that the Terps have recruited in the last 2 years. Obviously, they had Nick Faust from Baltimore, top 50 recruit, big-time city player. Is there anything other than, well, we just got to get better players that kind of spurred Gary and the rest of the staff to have more emphasis on getting these local guys? You know, or is it just kind of something that they've been trying to do for a while and it just worked out these last two times?
I think it's just worked out. It's been a focus for quite some time. It's an obvious focus that you got to recruit well locally. And when you look at this area, it is such a deep talent pool in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. It's been that way for a long time. You got to take advantage of it, and they haven't always been able to do so. You had the big name guys get away, like a Durant and a Beasley, and I can't blame them for that. I mean, you know, Kansas State hires Delonte Hill,
right.
and then they get Beasley, and you know Gary's not gonna do that. And then Baltimore, I mean, be quite honest, in the city of Baltimore, a lot of times you got the best prospects coming out of there, and they got guys attached to them. They got hangers-on and third-party individuals who want to get involved in the recruiting. It doesn't favor Gary Williams. It's hard for Gary to get involved in some of those recruitments and win. And he struggled at times. But to get Nick Faust, just like, I mean, Sean Mosley was a good get a few years ago. He struggled this year, but still, that was a good prospect to get at the time. And I think Nick Faust is a really good one as well, and he's going to develop into quite a player. So, you know, Maryland fans should be excited about that.
We're here with Eric Prisbell, Washington Post College Hoops reporter, with us here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada. What's your gut feeling on Jordan Williams as far as him coming back next season?
Well, it's a personal decision, and nobody exactly knows what's inside his head. But when you look at all the circumstances surrounding it, you know, it would certainly make sense, in my view, for him to come back another year. It would make sense from his perspective, and it would certainly benefit Maryland's program overall as well. You have the threat of a lockout or a labor strike next season, and you don't know how that's going to work out in the NBA. It looks like he would probably be a first-round pick at this point, but it's a down draft, so that doesn't mean that you're ready to go. And he could still develop in a lot of ways. He could still develop his body, I think, a little bit. He could progress at the free throw line, and he could just develop his all-around game. And if he comes back, he'll be absolutely one of the premier players in the entire country next year, and Maryland will be back to being an NCAA tournament team, and he'll be in the spotlight. And I think that'll benefit both him and Maryland. It'll be a win-win.
There will be no lockout in college basketball. I looked this up. I checked in. So that's a good thing, too. You know you're going to actually get the games in the college game next year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't want a 96-team field, but I don't want a lockout either.
If you had to pick one, you'd pick the 96-team field. That's for sure. You know, so we're talking about these big-name guys, you know, the Andersons, the Fausts. You know, a part of me kind of thinks about what happened right after the national title when they get Travis Garrison and Mike Jones and a lot of other big-name recruits that just didn't work out as well as we had liked. What has to happen for it to work out differently with these two guys?
That's a good question. And, you know, they got to buy into it. They got to work hard. And, you know, that class that came in right after the national championship, you know, there were some issues with that class. John Gilchrist had some issues. As a whole, the class didn't develop as people thought it would, and Travis Garrison wasn't the player that a lot of people thought he could be. Mike Jones was a very good athlete. It just took him a long time to develop. I think by the time his senior year rolled around, he was one of the best shooters in the country. I mean, he was really dead on from outside the three-point arc. He just wasn't like a LeBron James, and he was second in the country, I think, at the guard spot to LeBron, and that's a pretty high bar to try to beat. So
there's a bit of separation there, apparently.
I can't believe I just remember that. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. Well, Nick Kinner-Medley was highly thought of too. I mean, it's not just those guys. I mean, it's amazing.
Is it really just like a matter of them buying in, or is that? I mean, are these better fits for what Gary wants to do?
I think they're good fits, but a lot of it is in their head. I mean, if anybody wants to say that John Gilchrist was okay from the shoulders up, you know, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But he was ultra talented. I mean, as you know, I mean, they won their only ACC tournament under Gary with him leading the way.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's not everything.
Right.
I think these guys, from all accounts, are good guys, Nick Faust and Justin Anderson. But they got to work hard. This is only the start. Hey, Michael Parker, I thought he was a pretty good get for Gary too. He was a pretty highly rated recruit, but he didn't do much this past season, so he's got a ways to go. So the recruiting rankings, they aren't everything. A lot of it has to do with how you develop as a person, you know, and how you react to Gary.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting. Let me ask you this. We're here with Eric Prisbell, college basketball reporter for the Washington Post here on SB Nation Radio 106.7 The Fan. What do you think the relationship is with Kevin Anderson and Gary at this point? I mean, we obviously saw the situation with Ralph. Is it a better relationship with him and Gary?
Oh, sure. No question about it. Mm-hmm. You know, everything I've heard, it's been a good relationship, unless something's changed in the last week or so.
Gotcha.
That I don't know about, but they've been on the same page. Kevin Anderson's the basketball guy, and Gary Williams, well, Gary told me this, I mean, right after Kevin was hired, that, you know, he's a basketball guy, and, you know, they share a view on a lot of basketball issues. So they've been able to communicate a lot about that. Now, how much will that help? You still got to win. Still got to win on the court. This season wasn't good enough. But I'm certainly not in the camp of those people who think that there should be a coaching change at Maryland. I mean, last year they were first in the ACC regular season and were a buzzer beater away from getting to the Sweet 16 and maybe even the Final Four. So you got one of the top coaches in the entire country. They're starting to turn the corner a little bit on the recruiting front. I think the guys earned a little bit more time.
No, no doubt. I think that's one of the most insane things. I think
how much more does he have to do?
Regime.
I mean, he's saved the program.
Well, I know, but you still wonder with the new regime, and you know, you never know how that goes. That's why I think people wonder about it. But it is interesting, and certainly a good score here early in the offseason after, as you mentioned, Eric, a very tough regular season. Well, enjoy the hoops this weekend, Eric, and thanks as always for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, there is Eric Prisbell with us here on SB Nation Radio. We're going to talk some Nationals coming up as we get into spring training with Ben Gessling from MassinSports.com. That next here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.